If you'll open your Bibles this morning to the book of John, I'm going to, my text this morning is going to be from John 3:16. John 3:16, very simple verse, well-known verse, but a verse that never grows old because it is the salvation message. And it is for the salvation message that we should always be thankful, the lost as well as the saved. Maybe especially the saved even more, because you know what you were saved from. If you take notes, I've entitled a message, Thanksgiving, More Than Turkey and Football. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to use that verse this morning just as a Thanksgiving message to take home, but I want to elaborate on why the Christians, why the believers should be thankful, not just at Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is more than a turkey, a football game, or parades, much more than that. But before we do that, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. We come to you, Spirit of God, in thanksgiving always, Lord, and especially now as we prepare for the upcoming day we traditionally celebrate it, the world does anyway, or America. We pray, Father, that you would open up the message that comes from John 3:16 and Ephesians chapter 1. Open all the blessings up to our ears and to our hearts, and let us think about these things for this time we're together, of all the things that came from the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do that for your glory and our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach Thanksgiving, it's a time most people spend time reflecting and celebrating. Some people start early. There's this thing, this evil thing I call it, called Black Friday. It starts just before Thanksgiving, and I don't know how long it goes, but it goes too long. It should never have been started to begin with. And what it means is, for those of you who don't know, Black Friday means this is the time of year merchants either stay in the black or they lose money. That's Black Friday, and I personally have no part in it, but that's what it means. It's a season when we look back and we count our blessings that we receive throughout the years. It's a time when we gather with family and friends. We enjoy a turkey or a ham dinner with all the trimmings. And for most of America, Thanksgiving is also about football games, parades, and a host of other things that celebrate Thanksgiving. This morning, I want to talk to you about the Thanksgiving that Christians share, which is far different than the Thanksgiving the rest of America shares. I've chosen John 3:16 as our text, as I said, because it is the table and the foundation of all God's graces. All God's graces rest on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of them. Without Christ, there is no Ephesians 1, and there is no John 3:16. It all rests on Christ. And of all the things in the world that man should be thankful for, of all the things, God's gift of his Son is beyond any doubt the greatest thing mankind should be grateful for. The greatest thing, bar nothing. That's what the first Thanksgiving was all about. Did you know that? Started in 1619. Governor Bradford initiated a Thanksgiving Day because the Indians helped the pilgrims harvest the fruit, the wheat, and the barley, and bring it in. And they weren't thanking the Indians, although they did. Their Thanksgiving prayers went to God. That was the first Thanksgiving. And then after that, it developed into a Thanksgiving because America was a Christian country. And it was always about God. But somewhere along the line, as with everything that has to do with God, it devolved into football games, parades, and something called Black Friday. Unfortunately, that's the Thanksgiving most people in America celebrate every year. And if they do pray, and there are many Christians who call themselves Christians, they profess to know Christ. If they do pray, it's usually to a counterfeit God of their imaginations. Many evangelical Christendom today is in a state of apostasy. It's in a state of apostasy simply because there's no belief in Christ. The church today is more interested in population than it is in doctrine. It's more interested in programs than it is in understanding applications from the Bible. And the result of it is, if they do pray, they are certainly not praying to the same God that's in this book and the God that you and I pray to. They're not. Romans 1:21 tells us about these people. Although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's what happens when you pray to a God of your imagination and not the God of Scripture. But for those of us who accept God's sacrifice for their sins, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, for us, Thanksgiving should be an everyday event. Did you know that? Every day is Thanksgiving. And if you like turkey, then have turkey sandwiches. Bring turkey into it all you want. But the key to it is thanksgiving to God. Listen, as God's chosen vessel, our minds, our hearts, and our lives should be in a constant state of thanksgiving. Amen? It should be in a constant state of thanksgiving. The Bible says that in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. It's written in the imperative tense, which means it's a command. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It doesn't matter what you do in your day. It's a Thanksgiving day. The world today doesn't do that. They're only thankful that they have a day. That's all that they look for is the next day. And everything that they have, they think that they earned or they made themselves, and they did not. And especially young people today. Young people today are so electronically hooked. It's worse than heroin. You can't take a phone away from a child without them going berserk. And even adults. There's no thanksgiving in that. And it's getting worse as time progresses. But it's all part of God's plan. Let me not forget to say that. The verse is a command to celebrate Thanksgiving. And you don't need a turkey to do it. You really don't. Just be thankful every day for what you have. Just celebrate your new life in Christ. You're a new creature now. You're not like you used to be, or you shouldn't be. If you are, then you really don't know Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means living for Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Everything is new. Was it new in your life when you got saved? Did you not have all of a sudden find out that the things you had in common with your family and your friends that didn't know Christ, that you no longer had those things in common anymore? Why? Because you're a new creature. You know, the Bible calls us aliens, and it is true. That's a perfect word. We are aliens in this country and even amongst our own family. And the only time we're not aliens is when we're in a place together like this. Now we're members of one body with one God. That's another reason to be thankful. You have a place to go. You're not by yourself. You have people who love you. not for who you are or what you are. They love you because you're in Christ, just like they are. They are an adopted member of God's family, just as you are. You want to be thankful? Be thankful for that. I tell you, the moment, Colossians 1:13, I think it is, says, you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved son. From the moment that happened, you were a new creature, and now you're in a state of thanksgiving continually because you're a new creature, because God has saved you from a life in this world that was purposeless and brought you into a life that has a purpose and it has eternity in it. You will live eternally. Jesus says, although they die, they shall live. You're never going to die. The world has this terrible thing about, death is the cessation of life. Poppycock. Death is not the cessation of life. Death is the transference from one realm to another. And how do we know that's true? No one's ever come back, but how do we know it's true? Because man has always had a desire, a knowledge to know that there's something besides now. They know it. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, eternity is written on man's heart. Since the beginning of time, there's been religion for a reason. And every culture has it. And it's for that reason. The moment you were transferred. And by the way, your celebration from the time you get saved, that's a continual celebration of thanksgiving that will go through all eternity. It never stops. How wonderful is that? And how's that for a reason to be thankful and celebrate every day? And to keep it going and to keep that celebration going, while you're here on this earth, God has opened his pantry in heaven and set up a banquet table so that all of his children can help themselves to all of his blessings. I mean, Thanksgiving is about the food. Well, let's talk about the food that God gives his people. He has a pantry. The spiritual food that's on God's pantry, it came from one seed that was planted a little over 2,000 years ago. And amazingly, that one seed, after being planted for only 3 days, that single seed rose up and produced a harvest that's still being harvested today, over 2,000 years later. And all of you are the fruit of it. You're the fruit of that cross. And the pantry I'm talking about is called the Bible. This is God's pantry. And this pantry is the spiritual food that will delight any born-again Christian's palate. I don't care who you are. If you love God enough to live for him as best you can every day, then that book, you'll love eating from that book. If you don't love God enough to live for him and you call yourself a Christian, this book's a book of morals. Or if you don't love God at all, then this book is meaningless to you. Read Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I want to show you something in that verse. You got your Bible open to that. Open it up. Ephesians 1:3. And I want you to look at two words in that. There's two words in there, Mike, that I call them spiritual sweeteners. Spiritual sweeteners. Look at the word us and all. You know what they mean? The word us means every believer can personally claim this text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed Zach with all spiritual blessings, has blessed Sarah with all spiritual blessings, has blessed Clark with all spiritual blessings. Every single one of you that know Christ as your Savior, you can put your name in there and you're doing no harm to that at all. None. Actually, you're supposed to do that. It was written for you. And what about the other giant word in that text? All. You know what the word all means? I know the ladies' Bible study does. Without exception. All means without exception. That means in heaven, there's not a blessing that's withheld from God's elect. There's not one blessing that lies in heaven, that lies in God's hand, that he will not give his children. There's not one. All, without exception. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all. There's a spiritual sweetener. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And Romans 8:31-32 backs that up. Here's what it says. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, his children, how shall he not with him also freely give him all things? He's giving you everything. Have you ever thought about that? What has God given you besides salvation? Yeah, there's heaven, there's that. He's given you his son. He's given you his spirit. He's given you his word. He's made you joint heirs with Jesus Christ in heaven. What hasn't he given you? Nothing. He's given you everything he has. Everything. In Christ, you have everything. You're positionally perfect. You're positionally sinless. And God looks at, when God looks at Newt, he doesn't see Newt. He sees Jesus Christ in Newt. That's what he sees. All of those blessings belong to him. Let me give you a taste of some of the blessings. How about the forgiveness of sins? Colossians 2:13 and 14. Turn here with me. Colossians 2:13 and 14. Paul writes, when you were dead in your your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You know what that means in summary? It means that all of your sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. Jesus Christ has forgiven your sins, and it means that the sin debt, you are under the law before Christ, and under the law means that you have to pay the penalty. Jesus was the atonement, the sacrifice that paid the penalty for each and every one of you. So your sins are forgiven. Period. Now let me ask you this. How much different do you think the world would be if the world really had forgiveness? I don't mean just saying, oh, I'm sorry I offended you, but really meant, oh, you know, I'm really sorry I offended you and did it. How much different would the world be if the world could forgive? But the problem is they can't. They don't forgive at all. And what happens when you don't forgive? When you don't forgive somebody of something, you know what happens? You develop in a metaphoric way a Velcro that holds on to everything that ever happened to you. And that Velcro, it follows you wherever you go. It's right behind you. It's not on your mind, not on the top of your mind, but it's always there, and it just takes like that, and it comes up. A good example was when I went this morning to get breakfast for Ron and I, the lady at the donut station, she leaned through the window to give me my coffee, and she says, what kind of cologne are you wearing, Brian? I said, well, it's an old-fashioned one. It's called Old English. It's called English Leather. And she says, you know, when I smelt that, I went all the way back to when I was a kid. I remember, I think my father or somebody wore that. And the moment, I haven't ever smelt that since then. And I just got it. That's exactly what happens to people that don't forgive. People that don't forgive, they have Velcro on them, and as soon as they smell something that reminds them of that, it's up on the top. That's why everybody's so angry. That's why there's road rage. There's neighborhood wars. There's no forgiveness. People are angry because there's no forgiveness. And hooked right onto that other end of that Velcro is no hope. They have no hope. The lost have no hope in anything because there's no forgiveness. And if there's no forgiveness and there's no hope, there's no Thanksgiving. That's why today's Thanksgiving for America is turkeys and football games. But for you, it's hope. It's forgiveness. These are all spiritual meals that God gives those who come to that cross and accept his son as Savior. How about being adopted into God's family? I mentioned that a second ago. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. Here's what Paul writes to them. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. If a lawyer came up to you with a paper and said, are you Vinnie Webble? Yes. Well, I have a paper here, and I'm here to tell you I represent the client, and you have just inherited $5 billion. If Vinnie Webble doesn't know Jesus Christ is his Savior, he's probably going to leave most of that money behind and he's going to go to hell. That's not a good inheritance. The inheritance that God gives you is an inheritance that starts here and you can claim it here and it goes all the way through eternity. That's what being adopted into a family means. That's how much he loves you. And that's reason to be thankful. Not only just because in Christ, but because he loved you enough to do all of that. And the problem with that even is we don't know how to love too well. Human beings don't, because we come into this world with the sin nature. We act on that sin nature, and love is always conditional. But God's love is unconditional. He's never going to stop loving Sheila, no matter what she does. Why? Because he called her, he washed her in the blood of his son. She's the most valuable thing that she could ever be to anybody. It's God, because he owns her. He owns all of you that know him. And he lavishes us. And I want to tell you, beloved, that's not something that Christians today are really thinking about. They're more thinking about all the negative, bad things going on instead of thinking about what God gives us. What we should be thankful for is the way he lavishes us as his children. You never lavished your children the way God lavishes you. You couldn't. But he did. And he is doing that. And how about the big one? The last enemy we have is death. That's what the world fears more than anything else, because they know something's going to happen and I'm not sure I'm going to be ready for it. They hate death. They fear death. And yet, but the Bible tells us that every single child of God is given the victory over death itself. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 55 to 57, 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57. He starts off with, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, the grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're never going to cease to live. And because God in his grace has called you, he's given you the victory over death. And that simply means life with Christ. In John 17, I think it's 17:23, he says, Father, I pray for those that you've given me that they may be where I am. Now that's God praying to God. So you can pretty much guarantee that request is going to be granted. And that simply means that when Jane goes to heaven, she's going to be with God alive, more alive than she ever was on this earth. And the same applies to every single saint, every single one of you. Talk about Thanksgiving. That's something to be thankful for. That's not, and by the way, we can't understand eternity. I can't understand it. I don't know that anybody can. It's infinite. Eternity means there's never going to be an ending to it. It's going to go on beyond our understanding. And in doing that, if you're in heaven, you know what Psalm 16:11 says? At thy right hand are joys forevermore. That's where the saint will be. That's another reason Thanksgiving should be an everyday event. How's that for something to chew on and give thanks for when you think about these things? And if that's not enough, let me pile on a few more. Ephesians 2:18, we have access to God. Through him, we both have access to one spirit and to the Father. I want to tell you something. Many people pray, and I know you know that, but they don't know God. The word know in the Bible means love. If you love God, you know him. And if you know him and love him, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments, keep my commandments. And that's how we know we love God, because we want to keep his commandments. We want to live by his word. We have a thirst for him. And in doing that, we know that we love him and that we have life in him. And his love is irrevocable. Hebrews 13:5, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you understand these are Thanksgiving blessings? And the gravy that goes on all of this is eternal life. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. And God doesn't lie. Has anyone here who knows Christ as a Savior ever had God lie to them? Has anybody ever found a lie in this book? I had I've been saved now, 27 years, going on 27 years. And I got to tell you something. I had a standing offer, and it's still open. If anybody can show me anything in this book that God tells me to do that's bad for me, I'll eat those pages. I got to have a little catch up with it, but I'll eat them all. I'll eat them all. There's nothing in there. Nothing that's bad for me. So if I have all of these things that are given to me, I didn't earn them. I'm not worthy of them, and neither are you. None of us are. It's through grace and a sovereign strength to say, you have faith through grace and not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm paraphrasing it. But the point is, we bring nothing to God. He gives it all to us by grace. That's really what Thanksgiving is about. In 1619, when the pilgrims prayed to God, these were Puritans. They were very, I hate to use the word Calvinist, but they were Calvinists. And that means that they believed in God. They believed in him. And they prayed to him, and they did it all the time. The Constitution was made by God-fearing men, most of them. And they brought God into everything. It's on your money. It was on court buildings ever since I was a kid. In God we trust. Some people see a penny on the ground, and they can't walk by it. They got to pick it up because it says, in God we trust. So they pick it up. They believe. And when you believe, those blessings all belong to you. That's why you should be thankful. It's not about the turkey or the football games or the Black Friday. It's about being thankful to God for what he saved you from and what he's doing currently in your life. The best part of eating from God's banquet table, the very best part, is that all the spiritual food, every bit of it, you need to get through that is all you need to get through this life. You don't need anything else spiritually to get you through this life. Nothing. Luke 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. You live your life with this book, and I want to tell you something. Your life changes so dramatically, and it changes so wonderfully that it takes a while New Christians, not so much, but after 5 years, maybe 5 years or so, it really starts to sink in that this book has made me a different person. Not only has it made me a child of God, it's made me a better human being. I can love now like I never loved before, and so can you. I love my enemy. This morning in Bible study, the question was asked, how do you pray for your enemies? You pray that God will turn them into brothers or sisters. That's how you do it. It's so simple. This book will make you a better person. And of all the things in this world you should be thankful for, you should be thankful for nothing. Nothing is more, should give you more reason to be thankful than what God has done in your life through Jesus Christ. He's given you the mind of Christ, Ephesians 2:16. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's given you all spiritual blessings. He's given you the victory over the world, 1 John 2:4. He's given you victory over death. And in Luke 10:19, he says, I give you all power over all evil, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You want to be thankful? Yeah. Gather with your family, have the turkey, have the trimming, maybe watch a game or two, whatever it is. But deep down inside, know that that turkey, the game, your family, and everything is in that room with you because God put them there. God put them there. And because of that, you want to be thankful. That's what you should be thankful for, that you have a God that loves you so much that he was willing to give everything he had so that you would be, in this world, able to function, able to live, have joy, have peace, and an understanding of what's going on around you. And then when you're out of this world, bring you to a place of peace for all eternity in Jesus Christ. That's Thanksgiving. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's not you at all. It's the turkey. And you probably like it done in the oven with a little browning, a little, you know, put that butter on the skin and stuff. And you like the stuffing and that. Eat it all. Enjoy it. Watch the game. I hope your team wins. Go out and spend some money. Black Friday, whatever they call that thing. Go out and do that. Because I want to tell you something. If you don't come to know Christ as Savior, that you can give thanks for that. But that's not going to last long. Tomorrow morning, you may have a little indigestion. Your team may have lost. And you may have spent too much money. And then you got to go and make some more, and you got to get through another day. That's all you have for Thanksgiving. You close it up, and you wait for the next year to come around. That's all you have. But for the Christian, for those of you listening that know Christ as your Savior, altogether different story, isn't it? Come to know Jesus. If you don't know him, what are you waiting for? Why wouldn't you want to have Thanksgiving with Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't you want to sit at the table of God Almighty and eat off his table every day? Why would you not want to do that? Why? Is it your flesh? You think maybe you've done things that God won't forgive? Paul, the apostle who wrote half the New Testament, was a murderer. He didn't have a problem with him, forgiving him. He'll forgive you for anything that you've done. All that you have to do is understand that you need to repent of your sin, and you need to ask him for that repentance, that you tell him that you've repented and mean it, and then pick up his word. He'll give you the mind you have to understand this, other than the words in it, the spiritual aspects of it, and walk with him through this life. It's that simple. The blood pays for your sin debt, and for the rest of your life, here and for all eternity. It's a Thanksgiving day that never ends, because you're in a constant state of thanksgiving, because you realize what the glorious Savior Jesus Christ did for your life. And nothing trumps that. Call me or see me if you want to know more about that, or if you want to belly up to his table, you let me know and I'll show you how to do it. In closing, I want to say, in a few days, America is going to celebrate Thanksgiving. But for us, God's people, I'm going to say it again. Every day is a celebration day. It's a Thanksgiving day. All you have to do every day is open up heaven's pantry and claim the hot and ready to eat food that's here that God has prepared for you. And if you do that, you can claim the dessert that we find in 1 Corinthians 2:9, June. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God, that neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's a verse that's talking about life now. You cannot believe the goodness and the grace that God will bring into your life until you have him as your Savior. And when you do, that verse comes alive in your heart. When you suffer, and I know what suffering is, when you suffer, what ends up happening is it seems at the time to be the most horrible thing, but when it's over, and during it all, you're comforted. During it all, you're strengthened. During it all, you're glorifying God and you don't even know it. And in doing that, you glorify him. You're eating from his banquet, from his pantry every day. And that eye is not seen verse is something that is yours today. As a matter of fact, that's spiritual takeout. That spiritual takeout. Eye is not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I want you to bring that home. And I want you to bring John 3:16 home as the table you're eating from, the cross of Christ. Eat from it every day and give thanks every day for everything that you do. We're going to, when we close here, we're going to sing Count Your Blessings. And as we sing our last hymn, I want you to do that. I want you to think of the blessings God has given you this year as we sing this wonderful song that recounts that. Count your blessings. May you all have a very, very happy Thanksgiving, and may that Thanksgiving continue in your heart and mind up to and including eternity. Amen.